What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
I'm Ben Bolin, and we want to go ahead and open up the second part of our Nissan GTR podcast with the briefest of recaps, which is that this is a listener suggestion by several people, I believe, but notably by a friend of ours on Twitter named DJ Blitzkrieg, who said, "It's been 2 years since I asked you to do a Nissan GTR."
Yeah, it was a long, long time. We're sorry about that, but sometimes just gets shuffled to the bottom of the list, I guess.
And thank you for reminding us. So we talked about a lot of stuff previously. If you haven't checked out our first podcast on GTR, you don't have to stop this one and listen to it first, but it would help to listen to them in order because we're picking up right where we left off.
Yeah, you'd be missing a lot of good information because we got all the way through and we were talking, well, we talked about a bunch of stuff
already.
A bit
of history, the different engine, models.
Yeah, a lot of different stuff. The exterior, the interior, some of the special features that it has. And,
yep.
And now I think, we got just past the performance, I guess, in this thing.
Yeah.
And you talked about some of the awards and we talked about performance. And I think the way we want to pick it up now maybe is since you were talking about some awards, let's talk about some of the arenas that this thing competes in. You want to talk about that?
Ah, yeah.
So some of the motorsport aspects of this whole thing. Now, without going into too much detail, I mean, the Nissan GTR competes or has competed in a lot of different series. I mean, there's the Super GT series.
Yep.
There's the FIA GT, GT1 World Championship, and then there's also the GT3 Championship, SCCA World Challenge Series, GT Class. Let's see what else. Australia's Targa Tasmania Tarmac Rally.
Read my mind.
That's a big one. The One Lap of America competition.
Uh-huh.
And then there's an unusual one there at the very end that I was kind of surprised to read about, Ben.
One's that?
This is the 24 Hours of Nürburgring in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why it was a surprise to me. I just, for some reason, that's off my radar. I didn't know that there was a 24 Hours of Nürburgring.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, it was running at least in 2011. I'm not sure if it's something that's currently going or not. I'm going to have to look that up as we get back to our desks.
Yeah, it's also been in the Redline Time Attack Modified All-Wheel Drive competition. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Targa Tasmania. It's also repeatedly won Targa West competition.
All right.
Let's see. I'm having a tough time because it's been in so many. It's been in so many competitions.
Well, it's everywhere. It's a great car to compete in. I mean, it seems to fit a lot of these different series. You know, of course, it's a sport coupe, I guess, is what you would call it, really.
Yeah.
It's very, very strong vehicles. We've talked about in the first edition, or first episode, rather. And, you know, so much goes into building this car, making it perform not only on the street, but on the track as well. It's a natural adaption from a street car to a track car in this thing.
And let's go ahead and talk about, just briefly, some cultural impact, a little bit of Hollywood here, some spoilers.
Okay.
The Nissan GT-R is pretty much a shoe-in to be one of the main characters of Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm not saying the people are not great actors, but let's be honest, the main draw of Fast and Furious is the vehicles. And, you know, our buddy Christian Sager, who works with us on Brain Stuff and Stuff of Genius, you know, also a car fan,
mm-hmm.
and he is nuts about Fast and Furious, the entire series.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
I'll have to talk to him after this podcast about that.
Yeah, ask him about it.
I definitely will. Yeah, well, we'll have some notes to exchange, I'm sure. So, tell you what, we've talked about some of the motorsport stuff, the awards, all that other stuff. Let's get back into the car itself. Remember, I've taken this from the Nissan website, you know, the Nissan
right.
USA website. And so it's kind of their version of, you know, listing all the special features and technology that goes into this. And technology is coming up next, but I first want to talk about the special editions that we talked about. Remember the black edition, the track edition?
Yes. One note before we move on. I'm
sure.
So sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
In the 2011 Nürburgring that we mentioned, the 24 hours of Nürburgring.
Yes.
The car finished, 36th place overall. But it did get a victory in the SP8T class.
That's a big difference. A victory in one class.
Yeah.
And 36th overall. You know what? That's not terrible because it's probably running with a lot of different other vehicles like prototype vehicles or whatnot.
Right. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a super weak performance.
First in its class though?
Well, they did have some technical glitches. So there were some technical issues, which are fairly common in the 24 hours.
In any 24 hour race, you're going to have technical glitches, even in the best of cars, really. I mean, it just happens. So
it was the best of cars. It was the worst of cars.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. Special editions. We're just kind of working through the list here, and we'll get the technology in a minute, which I'm pretty excited about. But we talked about the black edition, because remember there's premium, then there's the black edition, and then there's the track edition. And the black edition, has the dry carbon fiber spoiler that we mentioned, right?
Yes.
And of course that gives it, you know, a lighter, I guess stronger deck lid to the whole thing. And it's, you know, increases stability because it has a wing on the back that decreases flex, things like that. So it translates into more downforce, better handling for the vehicle. And what that is just instead of having, you know, the composite materials or whatever it is, you know, instead of having a wet carbon fiber, spoiler, this is a dry carbon fiber spoiler and it's lighter. It supposedly is better. I mean, when you think about every little bit of weight being saved on the vehicle like this, I mean, it makes a big difference. So, and this is just the spoiler that we're talking about, not the deck lid, because that comes up in the track edition, but just the spoiler, and it adds stiffness and decreases flex and all that, and it increases stability, you know, so there's more downforce, better handling, all that. So, you know, the black edition has that as a feature that's worth it. And then there's an interior package, which, really, we don't need to say much more about that than it's like black and red. It's different than the premium interior.
Right.
This is the black edition, maybe a little step up, I guess, in the interior. And then there's the GTR track edition, which, you know, has all the black edition features that I just mentioned, plus, extra track tune performance, I guess is the best way to say it, is that it has a stiffer suspension with specialized, Bilstein Damptronic gas pressurized shocks, which is, just the fancy way of saying that, you know, it's a better suspension, has a higher spring rate, just a little better handling vehicle, I guess, all around. Probably a little rougher ride, you know, for somebody on the road, but, you know, on the track, that makes a big difference. Front spoiler with carbon fiber air ducts, which is great, which increases cooling, to the front brakes, which is important, of course.
Right.
And it also has refined rear brake cooling. Because remember, I think we talked about some of the underbody aerodynamics and the diffuser and all that.
In part one, we talked about how the undercarriage is built to push air over and cool the brakes.
Mm-hmm. So not only the front brakes through these carbon fiber air ducts, but also the rear brakes through some of the underbody ductwork and things like that. So the rear brake and front brakes are cooled, and that's all based on track testing. But it also has a dry carbon fiber spoiler and the trunk lid. So it has a carbon fiber trunk lid, which the other one doesn't have. The black edition does not have. Adds stiffness, of course, as we mentioned. It weighs half as much as the standard deck lid does. And of course, it's painted, so you're not going to see the difference if you're on the street or on the track, rather. So it doesn't look any different. It has the body color just as the other ones would.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting into the technology, which, this is maybe the most interesting of all because there is so much going on in this car, Ben, because, you know, as we said, it doesn't necessarily look like a European supercar.
Right.
But it has a lot of supercar features, and it, of course, it performs like a supercar.
Uh-huh.
It is a supercar. Nissan says it's the supercar.
And it has so much ability to adapt and anticipate what the driver is going to want.
Exactly. And it has this kind of this customized performance that you can get in this thing. Now, there's something called a VDC.
Ah, yes. Vehicle dynamic control.
Yeah, very good. Sounds like you have a little bit of knowledge about the system. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So this is an interesting thing. I have more knowledge about, I don't want to say controversy, maybe a little bit of a wrinkle there.
Okay.
VDC, do you want to just break down what it is real quick?
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of like their version of stability control. Only the weird thing is that it kind of works opposite of most stability control systems.
Right.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. It's the reverse of most systems. And I'll explain that in just a minute, but there's three different modes, right?
Yeah.
There's normal mode.
Mm-hmm.
There's R mode.
Mm-hmm.
And there's special mode. And there should be somebody who would name those better, but there isn't. And I think it probably is because, you know, they're very, very, it tells you exactly what it is.
They were too busy building an amazing car, Scott.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, okay, so normal mode, that's just daily driving. That's just getting around town doing whatever you normally do, right?
Yeah.
Then there's R mode, which is like the maximum performance mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the special mode, which is used for long-distance driving and anytime you'd have like slippery conditions. So, you know, it's raining, it's maybe snowing. I don't know why you'd have your GTR in the
inclement weather.
Maybe you would. So there's these three different modes and it's all just a toggle switch that's located, you know, right in front of, I guess the shifter.
All right. So Scott, you said that this is a bit backwards in comparison to other stability control products.
And,
so how is that?
Well, I can tell you quickly, I guess, and just real, you know, in a very
just
high level way. Most stability control systems cut power or apply brakes when they sense a loss of control in a system, right? So you're losing power when something out of the ordinary happens, I guess, when the vehicle detects that a wheel's slipping, whatever. Well, that's fine when you're, you know, on the street and driving around town or something, but when you're on the track, it's something completely different. You don't want to lose power. You don't want it to break when you don't want it to break, right?
Mm-hmm.
So while you're cornering with the VDC in R mode, which is, you know, a lot of people are driving around in R mode probably a lot of times.
Most of the time.
I would think so, instead of normal mode, right?
Right.
Well, in R mode, the VDC actually sends more power to the appropriate wheels when it senses oversteer or understeer. So, you know, it's making an intelligent choice, but it's sending more power to the wheels that you need it at instead of reducing power from the ones that it selects. And in a way, that's opposite. I mean, I know that the other ones adjust as well, but this is saying that, you know, we're going to send more power to where we think it should go rather than back it down.
Rather than stop you, we're going to direct the energy in a way that keeps it stable, but also keeps it moving.
Exactly. And this all plays into launch control, which is what you wanted to talk about.
Yes. I'm chomping at the bit. Okay. So earlier, for everyone who listened to part one of this podcast, we mentioned how there was some variance in the numbers that auto reviewers and even Nissan themselves were giving out. And it goes back to a thing that had been called launch control, which was a little bit dubious at the time. Some reviewers, for instance, said we can get 0 to 60 in the GTR, the production GTR, mind you, as low as 3.2 seconds using this launch control. And people who own the GTRs themselves said, well, you know, I'm worried about trying out these numbers because if I try to get this performance, I might void the warranty on my vehicle.
Yeah.
Because it's not supposed to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So they're worried about, you know, they're not going to be able to take it back to the dealer for service when something breaks.
So, here's what launch control is. It's the act of turning off the VDC and launching the car out at 4,500 RPM.
Okay. Now, this is not brand new to any car, really.
No.
I mean,
this is an old hat.
Yeah, but there are a lot of cars that have you know, stability control of some kind that you're allowed to turn off. I remember back you know, driving Vipers a long time ago that you could turn the stability control off, you know, for whatever reason. You could spin the tires, whatever you wanted to do.
Sure.
Right? All this stuff is, you know, turn on or off, but here's the little secret that they don't want you to know, Ben. And this wasn't really all that well publicized even at the time, but it's well known now, I suppose.
Yeah.
That when you, even when you turn that stability control off or that, you know, that launch system off or on or whatever, a lot of times that system's still running in the background.
Yeah.
There's still a little bit of control going on there.
Still, it's not quite a placebo effect in many cars, but it's close.
It's still running there. It's just, it lessens the effect of it. So sure, you can launch and spin the tire. I'm sorry. You can spin the tires if you want to.
Right.
If you turn it off, you can slide it around a turn, but it's still kind of controlling the system. It's running what they said is in the background at the time. But then later, you know, they come up with versions where if you know, you can turn it off this way, but if you really want to turn it off, you do this.
And there was
a little secret to it, right? And
Then
you had to do something. You had to, you know, stand on your head and do something else to turn it back on again. You know, it was not quite so easy, but there were ways around it.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Research. It's always research.
It's always research. Yeah. That's why we're watching all these YouTube clips of GTRs. By the way, we already mentioned this once in our GTR number one podcast, but I want to say it again. There is some great footage of the GTR at the Nürburgring.
Yeah, that's right. Was it Nürburgring Lap Times or something like that? NürburgringLapTimes.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's listed as number four of all of the all-time speed records on the Nürburgring out of the top 100.
Yep.
Number four on the list currently as of today. And you can watch the full lap. You can watch the record-breaking lap. So it's really some good stuff there.
Now, at this point, Scott, I don't know where you want to go. You want to talk about aftermarket?
Yeah, we could do a little bit of that.
You got some more tech?
I got a little bit more tech, and then okay. in the realm of safety. And then
okay.
I'd like to talk about aftermarket because there's some amazing aftermarket stuff that's going on with this.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically one vehicle. And then I've got kind of a user-based issue with the GTR, which I think a lot of people find interesting because, you know, there's generally rave reviews about this thing everywhere. No one really speaks ill of the GTR, but I found a forum where there's some problems, and we'll get to it.
No spoilers.
It's a very small part of the whole thing. But as far as safety goes, they kind of break it down into three different parts on the website, and they call it the safety shield, I suppose. And the three different areas they break it down into are like monitoring, responding, and then protecting. And under the monitoring, they have things like the rear view monitor, which is a rear view camera, which you can, you know, obviously check around you, 180-degree view when you're parking, things like that.
Right.
There's automatic on and off headlights, which, you know, is not really all that unusual for other vehicles. Tire pressure monitoring system, which is, again, standard on a lot of different vehicles now.
Right. And there's monitoring in the software side of the vehicle, too.
Exactly, yeah. So that's part of the respond section of this safety shield is, you know, you mentioned the electronic traction control system, or TCS,
yep.
And the advanced vehicle dynamic control, which we talked about, which is like the stability control, really. It's VDC. There's also, of course, ABS, and there's electronic brake force distribution, which, you know, helps prevent wheel lockup and things like that. And, you know, as far as the way the brake force compensates, you know, front to rear, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then there's the protect angle on this thing. Nissan has an advanced airbag system, or AABS is what they call it. And it's, you know, just a dual stage supplemental front airbag system with seatbelt sensors and occupant classification sensors and things like that. It's, again, relatively standard, but what's different is that, you know, this one also has supplemental airbags and it has a latch system. Now, the supplemental airbag system that I'm talking about, these are like side curtain airbags and then some that are mounted in the seats as well. And then it has a latch system, which I just mentioned, which is like for the kids' seats, I guess. If you want to buckle a kid's seat in the back, you can do that. And the last thing maybe that I want to mention about that is that I read somewhere that the airbags actually have, there's safety bolts you can put onto the airbags so that someone can't come in and steal them, which I had never seen from any other manufacturer anywhere. And I'm sure that it's probably offered somewhere else, but it's kind of like, you know how you have locking lug nuts or the wheel locks that you can put on your wheels?
Yeah.
It has kind of like that key that you have to use in order to get them off?
Yeah.
Same type of thing, only for the airbag bolts, so that someone can't get into your car and steal your airbags.
I have this picture of airbag thieves just roaming the streets.
Yeah, and there are those. That's the crazy thing, is that there really are airbag thieves out there.
Wow. What do they use airbags for?
Well, they sell them for big money. Big
profit.
Oh,
I guess that makes sense, because you have to replace an airbag every time you get in an accident.
It's very dangerous to do it, but yeah, they make a lot of money on, you know, stuff like that.
There has got to be a YouTube video of airbag thefts gone wrong where somebody pops it.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we at? What do you want to do?
How about this? I'd like to talk about this aftermarket tuning option.
Oh, okay.
And just one example that I really want to point out here to show what people are doing with this car, because, you know, as we talked about the Nismo version that, you know, they take out to the track and run at the Nürburgring.
Right.
I mean, it chops, what was it? It seems like it chopped like 30 seconds off the previous time or something like that.
It went from like 7:30 something to 7:08.
Yeah. Amazing.
7:36 or
huge
something.
Huge difference in the times. And there's even crazier versions out there, as you can imagine, because aftermarket tuners get a hold of this and they're not so worried about having their manufacturer's warranty voided, right?
Oh, they don't care.
No, not at all. So there's a company called AMS Performance, and they're based in West Chicago, Illinois, and they've set record power levels and performance numbers for the R35 GTR, which is the one we're talking about. Now, they have something called the Alpha Omega GTR, which puts down something like 1,700 to 1,750 wheel horsepower. Now, wheel horsepower, if you don't know what wheel horsepower is, that's how much horsepower is actually at the wheels. It's not
actually
like
contacting the ground.
Yeah, that's not, you know, some number that then later gets diminished, you know, when it goes through
torque.
Through the transmission, through the axles and all that. It's actually horsepower to the wheels, 1,750 horsepower.
Wow, that's wild. What are they using to get that?
I don't know if I don't think I have any stats on the engine. I'm sorry.
No worries.
But I mean, incredible power out of this thing.
1,700.
Zero to 60 times, get this, 1.7 seconds.
What?
Zero to 60, 1.7 seconds.
No.
And it's a big car. It's not a lightweight either. I mean, I think the standard one weighs something like 3,800 pounds. So it's not extremely light. It's relatively light for what it is, really. But
yeah.
And some other numbers if you're interested in them.
Standing
half mile. So, you know, dead stop to a half mile. 214 miles per hour. That's how fast this thing can get going. In just a half a mile.
Holy smokes.
Which is ridiculously fast. We talked about 0 to 60 in 1.7 seconds, right? Now from 60 to 130 miles per hour, which is another significant step up here, 3 seconds is all it takes to go from 60 to 130 miles per hour.
So it's 0 to 130 then is like what?
4.7 seconds.
So still under 5 seconds, 0 to 100.
Well, yeah, so 0 to 100 is 4.4 seconds. And
wow.
Then 0 to 200 miles per hour, Ben. So this thing goes, obviously it goes faster because, you know, the half mile standing time.
Yeah.
0 to 200 miles per hour, 11.87 seconds. So, I mean, geez, there are a lot of cars out there that won't do 0 to 60 in 11.87 seconds, you know?
That's right.
I mean, or close to it, you know? And this car is going 0 to 200 miles per hour in that time.
And they're not the only aftermarket tuner by far.
Oh, no, but that's a standout. I mean, that's an extreme version.
I think that's the fastest GTR aftermarket tuning.
That's the fastest I've ever heard of.
Yeah. We know that there are some other companies, of course, there are numerous other companies that are working with this vehicle as a starting point. Notably, a company called Ecutech was the first company to change the shift points on the GTR inside the transmission control module, or TCM. This allows the driver to, this kind of hacks that launch control capability. Mm-hmm. So it allows the driver to adjust it on the fly. And then there's another company called Cobb Tuning, C-O-B-B. They were the first company to kind of hack into the encrypted ECU, of the GTR.
Yeah. And the main computer.
Right. And this allows anybody to, with the know-how, to reprogram the engine and, transmission control units with off-the-shelf or custom maps.
Well. It's interesting that you mentioned the ECU, Ben, because that plays into the very last thing that I want to wrap up this whole podcast with, unless you have something else you'd like to add.
I'd like to ask our super producer, Noel, for some dramatic intro music.
All right, so here's what I did. I went online, you know, looking at all these different reviews of this car and reading a lot about it, you know, trying to find out everything I could. It seemed like everybody had really, really good things to say about this car across the board. Everybody was really happy. I mean, it's a relatively low dollar car. And I know that now it's crested the $100,000 mark.
Right.
But prior to that, you know, the first release of this thing back in 2007, I want to say, Ben, that this thing was released somewhere in the high 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, 80, high 80s, mid to high.
86, 88,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit lower in some places. I don't know. But I thought, how am I ever going to find anything bad about this car?
Yeah, Top Gear likes it. Car and Driver likes it.
Everybody
Edmunds.
Loves it. And I thought, there's got to be something, you know, that somebody's saying bad about it. And it's not that I was really, you know, like, you know, hell-bent on finding something bad about it. But I thought, well, there's got to be some negative side of this
car.
Yeah,
you want the whole picture.
Yeah, because this car's been around now for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
This version.
This iteration.
Yeah, this iteration of it. You're right. So I was thinking, like, how am I going to find this? So I searched, GTR sucks. You ever do that? You ever search a product and you write the word sucks at the end and see what happens?
Because, I do.
Because here's what you get. Then you get somebody who's angry on a forum somewhere writing about something. That
it's always a forum.
It's always a forum. And that's exactly what I found. But I looked at this, and when I read it, I couldn't believe it, Ben. This is something, this is beyond just like, I'm having a little, warranty issue because, you know, they wouldn't, take the brakes back after, you know, they burned out after 4,000 miles or whatever.
Okay.
Okay. So this is something completely different. It comes from a forum that has been around since like 2009. And it's called, the whole forum's older than that, but this comment comes from then. It's something, from a site called ForzaCentral.com. That's ForzaCentral.com.
Yeah.
And there's a commenter there. He goes by the name Crispy Rice. And here's what he says about his GTR. And he's trying to warn other GTR owners about this so they don't have the same issue, really.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
All right, so here's the problem, and it's a big one. It says, I had a low-speed crash into the back of a white van recently. It was a badly serviced road, and we were stopped, pulled away, and the person in front of the van stopped for no reason, causing the van to stop and tap the tow bar of the car in front of me, and then in sympathy, I did the same thing to the van. So, you know, that's a polite way of saying, like, we had a very slow-speed three-car accident.
Yeah.
Someone, two cars up stopped. We all just kind of touched bumpers, right?
Right.
Well, in touching that bumper, he's saying that, you know, there was something that happened. And he says, I'm posting here to make sure that no one makes the same mistake I did. I think it's important to other GTR owners to see that, to see this so they're not stung by what they call, what he calls a careless accident and a GTR tax. He says a GTR tax.
Oh, okay.
Now, gets a little interesting after this.
Yeah, so. What's going on?
All right. He says he bumped into the white van tow bar and it caused this small crack in his bumper. And I can show Ben the picture of it here, but it's literally.
It's a tiny crack. It's like a hairline fracture.
I don't even know if you'd call it a crack. It's like it just tapped it. It's like it depressed it a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Something you wouldn't even really need to go into the shop to fix. I mean, it's that small. It's very, very minor.
Yeah.
It says, unfortunately, it also set off something called the pedestrian safety system, where the bonnet pops up, and I had no idea that it had this pedestrian safety system. The bonnet pops up, which is a one-use system, and you need to replace the bumper, the rams behind the bumper, the bonnet hinges, which, you know, the front hood hinges, and, of course, the ECU. Which he says, of course, the ECU, which, you know, who would ever have guessed? But I'm going to show Ben here. That's the pedestrian safety system.
Holy smokes.
So if you hit a pedestrian with the front of your GTR, what happens is, you know, the front bumper senses something's been struck. It depresses those sensors in behind the bumper. It pops up the hood, at the edge of the windshield.
Yeah, it pops up. This is very interesting. It pops up the hood right behind the windshield wipers.
Yes, and at kind of an angle so that if the pedestrian were to continue to roll over the car, which sounds horrific, I know, but the pedestrian would continue to roll over, they would go over the top of the vehicle and behind the vehicle instead of being trapped on the windshield, I guess.
Right, yeah.
That's probably the best way I can describe it. So it's almost like the hood makes a ramp to get the pedestrian off of the car, really. That's a crude way of saying
it. Interesting, but little known.
But it says, now, great, pedestrian safety system, but when he says, of course, the ECU, I mean, my gosh. So, you know, and these hinges are one-time use. So he says, when the accident happened, I called the dealer and asked them to collect the car because, you know, you can't drive it at this point. The hood has popped up to where you can't really see.
Yeah.
It says that I just pay for it out of my own pocket without putting it through any of this, you know, insurance claims or any of that,
sure,
right? And just make it easy. And it says, then I found out the total cost of the repairs.
Oh, boy.
Care to wager a guess on what this costs?
Take my...
Now, it's in pounds.
Okay.
So I can tell you the pounds and the U.S. dollar equivalent in 2009.
Okay. I took off my glasses for this one.
Very serious.
Let's see. I'm going to go with... Can I do dollar?
Sure.
Okay. I'll go with $2,000.
$2,000 is your guess, right?
That is my guess.
All right. With all that, we have to replace?
Yeah, everything.
Okay. The pounds amount is 11,000 pounds.
What?
And this is in 2009, and this equates to
$18,000
US dollars.
Oh my gosh. I was so off.
And I
wasn't even thinking.
And it took 5 weeks to do the repair. Now, the whole thing, the biggest deal with this is that, you know, those hinges aren't replaceable. Not reusable. You have to replace them. The bumper, the push-in, the rams, I guess, are also something you have to completely replace.
So they become consumables.
They did the cosmetic repair on the bumper. That's understood.
Oh, at least they fixed that dent.
Yeah, exactly. There was really no dent, really. I mean,
that way.
But the ECU had to be replaced. It couldn't be simply flash like what you would think. So I don't understand that. And that's part of what this whole thing was like. Why am I paying $18,000 because I bumped into a car at an extremely slow speed? And really, there was no harm, no injury. It was so slow. You know, everybody's had something like this happen before.
$18,000.
Usually, you just look at the bumper and say, well, no harm, no foul. Let's move on. Because why even fill out a police report? It's that minor, what I'm looking at in these photos.
But yeah.
$18,000 US dollars or 11,000 pounds in 2009. Now, the pedestrian safety system... I guess when this pops, now $18,000 at that time equates to about 25% of the cost of the entire vehicle, if you think about it that way.
I mean, I knew I was lowballing with $2,000, but I had no idea.
If you're figuring that the car was $80,000 in 2008, 7, 9,
sure.
whatever,
yeah, yeah.
This is like 25%, 25 to 30% of the cost of the entire vehicle. So what the whole point of this post was is like, okay, so Nissan's offering a product that's really great. It's really, you know, a fantastic vehicle. And it's really low cost, but then when something goes wrong and you bring it back to the dealer to have it repaired because, you know, you want to have it repaired under warranty.
Right.
They really, really gouge you for the price on this stuff. Now, I'm just going by this is an older post.
Right.
I don't know how they've, you know, fixed this or if they have fixed it in any way.
Did other people run into the problem?
Oh, there were other people that wrote in as well, and there were other issues as well on that forum. So
on the Forza.
So they're saying, okay, here's, and a lot of people are saying, and I hate after this a long podcast is
sure,
what a
sure.
great car it is. A lot of people were saying, I wouldn't buy that car, even though it's so tempting for
right.
the price that it is, even though it's $80,000 at the time or $88,000, and now it's up to $101,000. I wouldn't buy it, even though it's so tempting. It's something that I want so badly, but I know that if anything goes wrong with it, I'm going to be paying, you know, again, tens of thousands of dollars for repairs that should be something that can be a simple fix, you know,
so,
for a couple of $1,000s.
Yeah, so the cost of ownership then is secretly much larger.
And the other main point about this thing was some people were on there saying, well, you know, what's $18,000? You must have a lot of money anyways to buy a Nissan GTR, and you know, there's a lot of big stuff talking, right?
Huh.
The thing is, if you look at it proportionally, now, I understand that, yeah, you're doing pretty well if you're going to be buying a car like GTR, probably.
Right.
You're going to have a lot of money in the bank. That's fine.
Yeah.
I understand that. But when you're talking about 25 to 30% of the total cost of any car for a simple repair like that, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, look at it, you know, if you're repairing your Ford Focus.
Sure.
You know, I don't know, $8,000 or $9,000 for something like this, a minor traffic bump. Or if you've got a Lamborghini, you know, that you're paying, you know, $70,000 for something like this.
Right.
It's all proportional. So, you know, 25% for one simple repair
is out of proportion.
It's completely outrageous. And I have to say, I agree. And this is the most negative thing that I found about the GTR was that, you know, these people on the forums were talking back about, just these outlandish repair costs. And I see what they're saying with this $18,000 reset.
Yeah, I totally get that. I do want to say though, that part of it is priority. It seems like the main error is that the vehicle cannot differentiate between swapping paint and hitting a pedestrian. But on the other hand, if someone is driving and for some reason does collide with a pedestrian, would this keep the person alive?
Well, but see, let's say that the same vehicle struck a bike that the pedestrian or not pedestrian, but a biker was on.
Okay, like a motorcycle?
Yeah. No, a motorcycle or
just
a bicycle.
Okay.
A bicycle. I could see the same type of thing because what it hit was like the tow hook, right, or something like that.
Yeah.
Something very minor, but it was a solid metal object, and it just punched it. Now, if it hit a like the fork of a bicycle or something
mm-hmm.
like that, it would do the exact same thing. And, of course, there's a rider on that. And then they would be happy that, yeah, of course, you know, the pedestrian safety system worked and that, you know, it elevated the hood at the back end and, you know, it allowed the rider to roll over as it should instead of going under the vehicle, which is the, you know, the other situation. The bad,
right.
You don't want that to happen.
Well, okay, let's think of some other situations, because what if you are parking and you're in a tight parking deck?
Yeah.
And you pull up a little too far. But my question is, how much pressure does it take to activate this system?
Well, he said a low-speed crash where, you know, three people came together. Now,
so they're probably like 15, 12 miles an hour,
oh,
maybe?
I would think much
lower.
Less than that. I would guess this is a 5-mile-per-hour thing.
5 to 6 miles.
Yeah, because, you know, we're talking about somebody who started to pull out, stopped, and then somebody who, you know, like the second car pulled out and didn't see that they had stopped, so they hit them. And
just tapped them.
He also went and tapped them. So, like, that's how the three-car accident happened. There's probably only a few feet to get any kind of, if you want to call it that, speed.
Right.
Between
that's
when,
a really
when
good
they
point.
Start and stop. So it's going to be a very, very low speed impact.
Here's what I'm asking, because one thing that will bother me as an owner of a GTR knowing this is knowing that if somebody wanted to really screw up my day, they could walk by with just a hammer. Really?
Ben, what have you done? You just given them the secret.
Oh, no,
no, that's okay.
Don't do it.
No, don't do it. No, it's okay. I'm just saying, no, it's not really a secret, I guess, but man, you're right. In any vehicle that has something like this, really.
Yeah.
There could be, you walk by and you strike the front bumper with a hammer. You're right. And it would activate and that would ruin somebody's day.
I mean, it could, a lot of people, it could ruin a lot more than their day.
But you know what? I mean, honestly, hopefully nobody's doing stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
you could ruin anybody's day with a hammer on their car any day, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that's true.
I mean,
it doesn't need high technology.
No. I mean, there goes the windshield.
Yeah.
Okay. So understandably so, these people are upset about something like this and having to completely reset a system mm-hmm. that should be a pretty simple thing. And other manufacturers can flash their ECUs for stuff like this. I don't know why this particular vehicle requires a brand new ECU.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. That's something I want to dig deeper on to see if we can get a good concrete answer for that, because they should be able to flash. That's what my gut's telling
me.
And
I completely get the one-use hinges and things like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I understand that. That's what happens. Even seatbelt pretensioners and things like, once they fire, you have to replace them. And I get that. And every vehicle has them now.
Just like airbags.
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes sense. But let's see if we can find out what's going on with that ECU. And I am going to say, although that is a tremendously negative thing, it's a very big con.
Yeah.
I still think the pros outweigh the cons on a GTR,
man. I do, too. I mean, we talked for well over an hour and probably an hour and a half now about this vehicle, and there was so much positive about it. And I would think that, here we are in 2015, maybe they've already resolved that whole thing with the pedestrian safety system and what it does and what it requires once it's activated. So maybe they fixed it and they can flash the ECU now. I don't know, but that's an older post. I found it interesting. I thought I would include it.
I am excited for the 2015.
I am too.
This thing is nuts. There have been photos floating around for a while that were quote unquote leaked photos. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to see what they do. And,
the Nismo version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the one I want to see.
That's pretty much the only one for me too. But thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our two-part episode on the Nissan GT-R. Like Heinz ketchup, it was slow in coming, but worth it when it arrived, hopefully.
Yeah. And this is as we always say, there's so much more to this car that we just aren't getting to. This is a high-level coverage of this vehicle for sure, because I would love to go into the history of the Skyline GT-R and all that. But
that might be a different podcast.
Well, maybe we can.
Maybe we can. So before our buddies at Tech Stuff raise the villagers to form a mob and get us out of a studio, we are going to leave of our own accord off to another podcast adventure. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you have a Nissan GT-R experience. Show us photos, of course, if you got them. We love that. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can drop us, you can drop by our website, carstuffshow.com, and you can always suggest a topic that we should cover in our next show. Scott and I are regular guys. You can write to us directly. Our email address is
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.